Brother Parker. All right. Boy, that was some great singing tonight. Y'all did well. I like that song, Until Then. I think you did too. You could have sang that one again too. When I hear that song, there's certain songs that remind you of different people. And you do not know who I'm going to talk about, but there's a fellow named, his name was Maury Carlson. Maury Carlson used to play in nightclubs up in Michigan. Lord got, he played saxophone. He got saved. Started a ministry for needy and underprivileged kids. We'd call them bus kids, but they, you know, they came from big brother, big sister kind of people, and had a camp up there for them. And Brother Maury, he would play that song on a saxophone. Until Then, My Heart Will Go On Singing. Brother Maury Carlson's in heaven today, and I look forward to seeing him again. They're just kind of those songs that just remind you of somebody that you've met along the way. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. You know, it's just good to be here tonight. After the song service tonight, I'm wondering, Lord, is this really what you want me to preach? But it must be, because I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks, and finally, last night, I was able to sit down and get my thoughts collected together. And so I want us to look in Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4, and verse 35 is where we're going to be tonight. The telling of a message tonight, for those in the sound room, they never seem to always get it right, but Andrew's up there tonight, so he'll get this one right, is why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful? You know, when we look at what's going on in our country, when we look at what's going on in America's churches, there's great cause sometimes for discouragement. And I sense sometimes people just get discouraged. And, you know, the Bible doesn't sugarcoat stories about people that serve the Lord as if, you know, when you serve Him, when you are in the ministry, it's just a panacea of pleasure and there's no hardship, no discouragement, nothing like that. The Bible doesn't put it that way. There's up times and there are down times. And some of God's choicest servants, some of the people that we'd say, wow, they're a great spiritual giant, had times of discouragement. You know, when I think about Noah, now the Bible tells us that Noah's days and our days are getting very much like, and will get worse and worse like Noah's days, that violence filled the earth. All you got to do is look at any news broadcast on so-and-so killed so-and-so. Violence is filling the earth again. But during Noah's time, he obeyed God and built an ark. Now to us, we just say, yeah, he built the ark. But do you realize, I'm sure there were some times of discouragement. It had never rained before. And the Bible tells us he was ridiculed. He was mocked. I think sometimes people would sneak up to the building project and mess it up. Don't you? I mean, those people weren't much different than we are, our carnal, wicked natures. Yeah, they did that. And I'm sure Noah had some discouragement along the way in his doing the will of God, in his preaching when nobody would listen to him. I'm sure it was discouraging. You know, I think about Abraham. He listened to God and left Ur of the Chaldees. He went to a land that God, you know, promised him, I'm going to give this to your descendants. When he got there in the land of Canaan, all of a sudden, there's a famine. Talk about discouragement. Is this the land you sent me to? And now there's a famine here? That would be kind of discouraging, I think. And then I think also of Joseph. You know, Joseph did the will of God. He did what he was supposed to in his life. He obeyed his dad. He believed in the God-given dream that God had something big for him. And yet his brothers turned against him, stripped the clothes off him, threw him in a pit, and then sold him to the Midianites, and he took off to Egypt. And even while he was in prison, there were times when he said, I don't deserve to be here. Now, the Bible doesn't fill in all those details that Joseph got discouraged, but I'll guarantee you, because he was of like flesh, like we are, I was doing the will of God, but I don't understand this. It's discouraging. And of course, there were other people like Moses. We're going to get to the scripture in just a minute, but Moses got discouraged. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 15, this is what Moses said. He said, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Can you imagine telling God, I've had it, just kill me. But that's what Moses said. He said, I pray thee out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. I am so discouraged, it'd just be better for me to die. Hey, Moses believed God. He was faithful, and yet he had a time of discouragement. I think about the children of Israel. The Bible says in the same book, Numbers 21, verse number 4, the Bible says, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way They were discouraged. Even Asaph, one of the great songwriters in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, verse 77, or chapter 77, or Psalm 77, verses 7 through 9, he writes this. He said, "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" God, where are you? I'm discouraged. Won't you answer? Have you ever been there? I think if you live life long enough, you've been there and done that. And guys in the front row, I think you maybe had a little discouragement. But just live a little longer and you'll get discouraged too. You know, I think about Elijah. Elijah got so low after being so high. I mean, he obeyed the Lord. He built the altar and he did everything that God told him to do. And man, it was a great victory. And then he runs before the chariot, before the rain to the city, before Ahab even got there. And Ahab's wife says, "I'm going to kill you. Just like you killed those 450 prophets of mine. I'm going to kill you." And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 4, after Jezebel said that she would kill him, he went and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might, wait a minute, die? He was discouraged. And he said, "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Wow, he got discouraged. Elijah, somebody in the Bible that's a man of great faith that God used, and yet he got discouraged. I've been reading a biography on George Mueller of Bristol. I'm working my way through it. The book is set by my chair for over a year, and I said, "I'm going to read that." You know, those good intentions, like, "I'm going to clean the garage out," but I just never do it. Well, finally I said, if I read a little bit every day, I'll get the book read. I'm in chapter 5, and you know what? George Mueller, the man of faith, the man that prayed down, he got up one morning like I did a couple weeks ago and was in the slough of despond, as John Bunyan would put it. He was discouraged. It was on Christmas morning, nonetheless. George Mueller, in the slough of despond, discouraged and down. He said, "I ought not be here. I shouldn't be here." And he did what every one of us ought to do. When we get to one of those points in our life, he went to the Lord and he encouraged himself in God. So it's not wrong to get discouraged. It's not wrong to be down, but it's wrong to stay there. It is wrong to stay there. And I want us to look at the scriptures tonight. Now you're there in Mark chapter 4 with me, and I want you to see some things. We're going to look at this and we're going to glean some things from it. Then I want to give you some things that you might want to write down, because if you get discouraged, you might need this. And by the way, before I get to that point, I just skipped something. Discouragement. What is discouragement? Discouragement is really made up of two parts. The word discourage. The word dis means not or to lose. And courage, so it's to lose courage or to lose hope or to lose spirit. When I'm discouraged, I've lost spirit. I've said, there's just no hope. I'm not courageous anymore. And so someone who is discouraged loses that courage and hope. And there's three stages of discouragement. There's mild discouragement. And I'd venture to say that probably most of us in this room here tonight have had some mild discouragement. You maybe got up one morning like you were in the slough of despond. You say, why am I like this? What is wrong? You're discouraged. Now, mild discouragement might last a day. It might last a few days. And it has maybe something to do with circumstances or situations or people. And you're just discouraged about it. You know, you're mildly discouraged. And it affects your emotions. And this kind of discouragement, most people that don't really know you couldn't even tell that you were discouraged. You know, maybe your spouse could. Maybe the people that are closest to you say, "Is everything okay? Are you all right?" Just mild discouragement. But then there's a strong discouragement. And this kind of discouragement is the kind that affects your sleep. You just can't sleep. It affects your work habits. And a person that's strongly discouraged is distracted. Their mind is just occupied and going over this situation and that situation, and it affects their feelings. And this kind of discouragement is the kind that probably we share with our spouse. I'm just really down. I am so discouraged. You know, the best thing that you can do with your spouse when they say that is just say, well, let's pray. And then encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them in the Lord. And the final kind of discouragement, and maybe someone's been here, I don't know, but there's a disabling discouragement. Totally disabling. It's a deep discouragement, and we usually call that depression. That person is really severely depressed, and that kind can last for months and sometimes years. They're so depressed, and a person in this case usually feels drained physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That deep discouragement. Now, the manner in which we as Christians handle discouragement or depression is totally different than secularists would or the world would. We know that the world, and I'm not negating this, but the world will give us medication. But the fact of the matter is, that only affects your physical body. And if I remind you from Scripture, we are not just a physical body. We're not like dogs and cats. We have a soul and a spirit too. And our soul and spirit, medication can't help. Now, I'm not saying medication can't help some to get somebody out of that, but the fact of the matter is, it's a spiritual type of thing, and spiritually, they need help. They've lost faith. They've lost faith. And I want you to look here in the Scriptures with me in a thing that the Lord used this to help me get out of my slough of despond a few weeks ago. In Mark chapter 4, in verse number 35, this is what the Bible says. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took the ship, and when they sent the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And as he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I'm sure they didn't say it that quiet either. If the wind is blowing and the water's coming in, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can you see that? They're stressed. And the Bible says that Jesus, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have, watch this, no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Another scripture says, oh, ye of little faith. It's interesting that Mark, under inspiration, would say no faith. In verse 41, the Bible says, and they feared exceedingly. And they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want you to look with me, first of all, the promise that God gave here. Verse 35. The Bible says right there, the promise. Jesus said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I don't know about you this evening, but you know, I, in my words, sometimes I'll say things to my boys as they were growing up. I say, well, we're going to do this. And you know what? It never happened. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says something, he doesn't waste his words. When he says something, he means it, and it will come to pass. You can trust his word. His promises are true. His promises are everlasting. He never lies. Oh, smutty face, the devil will lie to you. And sometimes we believe his lies. But Jesus will never lie. And our faith has to be in the promises of his word. And so Jesus makes a promise here. He simply doesn't make idle promises he can't fulfill. He means what he says. He said, let's go to the other side, period. So all these gentlemen had was that promise, but they totally missed it. Because the Bible says they started rowing, and by the way, it was even. It was night. Boy, you talk about a scary time to be on the Sea of Galilee when the wind's blowing and the water's going up and down, and you're going up and down at night. You know, when you're discouraged, it seems like it's night. Nobody else cares. There's just no, oh, oh. And we're so distracted when you're discouraged. But there's a promise. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So that we may, what? Boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man could do unto me. Brother Boyd brought up this scripture this morning in chapel in 1 Timothy. It says, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's word will give you a sound mind. It's not for fear. You trust his promises. He even said to his disciples, fear not. When he says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee, I do not have to fear. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, and lo, I am with thee, even unto the end of the age, the world. I'm with you. I will never, ever leave you. Can I remind you who was in the boat? Jesus. He was in the boat. And he said, let's go to the other side. But the second P I want you to see tonight is the peril. The peril. And that is the big discouragement maker was the wind. The Bible says here that a great storm of wind came. A great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. And the Bible says that here, that it was now full. In Matthew, in the same account, it says that the ship was covered. Can I tell you that boats that are covered and full don't float? You know that? They don't. Humanly speaking, when boats are covered and filled, they go down. Now, there was great reason for them to be in panic. I mean, can you see the disciples? Hurry up! Go on! Oh, here comes another one! Oh, let's get it out of here! And they're working fast and furious to try to keep the boat afloat. But can I remind you? Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And who's in the boat? Jesus. Was it his time to die? No. Would he die by drowning? No. He said, if the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. They heard that. But they didn't catch it. They didn't catch it. They were in distress, and they were big time discouraged. Big time. Luke in chapter 8 says that they were in jeopardy. Jeopardy. It's not a game show, guys. All right? Jeopardy. Jeopardy means that they were in danger of loss or great harm. It was a bad situation. That is putting it mildly, because verse 38 says that they were really, really discouraged, really afraid, really fearful, because they went to the back of the ship and found Jesus asleep on a pillow. The pillow's wet and he's still asleep. Wow. He had no fear. Because he said, let us go to where? The other side. We're going to the other side. And the Bible tells us here that they were in a panic. Master, wake up! I can see Thomas. I doubt he's going to wake up. I really doubt it, guys. Wake up, Master! Don't you care? We're going to die. It's like the roommate that I had in college. No, he wasn't my roommate. He was across the hall. Jeffrey Snow. He was from Arkansas. I'd like to die, he said it just like that. And that's what the disciples are saying. We'd like to die. We're in jeopardy. The boat's full. We're going down, Jesus. Don't you care? When you're discouraged, do you feel that way? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? But I want you to see the people. Oh, and by the way, this is the only other person that I know. Jesus is the only other person that could sleep in a storm. You know the other one in the Old Testament, don't you? It was Jonah. And they went and woke him up. But Jesus had more reason to have calm and peace and sleep than Jonah did. And by the way, who sent that storm to? God did. So I want you to see the person, though. We looked at the promise, the peril, and the person. Jesus said, he got up. He didn't say a thing to them. The boat is full. Peace, be still. Wow. And it stopped. Calm. What do you think about those others that were in those little ships out there? They were going through it too. You're not the only one going through it. And you think, we're the only ones that are going through this. No, the Bible says there were other little ships with them. Everybody goes through those storms, not just you. But when you're in it, buddy, you feel like, I'm the only one in the whole world that's going through this. Wait a minute. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to, man, all of us. Discouragement happens to everybody. Situations, circumstances, people. There's things that get us down, and they're in peril. And Jesus says, peace, be still. You know what? The only person that can calm your storm is the master of the storm. That's the Lord Jesus. And notice what he does here, the probing that he does. You know, this is interesting, and we as parents need to remember this. When we have to correct our children or whatever, don't say, why did you do that, Steve? Oh, I'm picking on you again, Steve. It's Nate tonight. Nate, why did you do that? And Nate will answer just like anybody that's, how old are you, Nate? 10 years old. This is perfect. All right? Any 10-year-old, a 17-year-old would never answer this way. I don't know. Have you ever answered your parents like that? I don't know. Yeah. We all have. Honestly, they don't know. So don't ask them, why did you do that? They don't know. They just did it. It's just a kid thing. So how do you get them to, how do you probe? You ask questions. You remember this in the Garden of Eden? God never asked Adam, why did you do that? Why did you eat that fruit? Well, he did kind of. Yeah, why did you do this? He asked questions to probe the conscience. That's what questions do. They probe the conscience. Why did you do this? Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? How is it? How is it? Oh, the great thing that bothers our Heavenly Father is that you don't have any faith. Without faith, Brother Telly, you know, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that faith Him. That faith Him, honestly. And so he asked these questions. And I want you to notice the Bible doesn't record any answers. But you can just hear it. What were we thinking? Can you hear it? When you're discouraged, when you're discouraged, you're down, mildly, strongly, depression, whatever. Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you afraid? Why are you discouraged? Why? Why are you so fearful? Quite frankly, this evening, when any one of us becomes discouraged and loses hope or courage or spirit, we are fearful. We're fearful of what may happen or what might not happen, or we know what's going to happen, like we're God. I know this is going to happen. And most of the things we worry and fret and think and, stress out about never, ever happen. We bring tomorrow's worries on today. Tomorrow's got enough worries, let alone bring it to today. You don't need a week's worth of worries on today. Those, they come. And by the way, can I remind you also that it's not about fate, it's about faith. It's not about, this is going to happen. It's about faith. It's about trusting God, trusting Him. Notice with me Jesus' second question, you have no faith. You see, faith is a big deal to God. In the midst of the raging, blowing, ship-sinking storm, these men had one promise to cling to. Verse 35, let us go unto the other side. It's all they had. And you know what? When we're going through difficulties, we have a multitude of promises, don't we? Lots of promises. Some that I already shared with you. You know, it's God gives us promises that we can hang on to get through the storm that happens in our life. But you know what? The fact of the matter is they did get to the other side. Look at chapter 5, verse number 1. And they came over unto, what's the next two words? Three words, sorry. The other side. Brother Terry, isn't that amazing? Jesus said, let's go to the other side in chapter 5. No, it wasn't like that. You know, okay, here it is, chapter 5. I'm here. No, it's like, and they got to the other side. And when you're discouraged and when you're down, it's like, we're not I'm just lost. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? And lo, I'm with you always. I'm there. I'm here. You're going to make it. You will make it. So tonight, maybe you found yourself in a huge storm. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I really don't. But God does. Whether you're mildly discouraged, strongly discouraged, or on the point of just depression. You know, the fact of the matter is, who allows the storms? God does, doesn't he? He's in control of the weather, isn't he? Right? Okay. Then the fact of the matter is, God's allowed that to happen in your life, and so you just need to trust him in the storm. And can I tell you something else? At the root of discouragement is that old enemy of ours, the devil, and his old lies. His lies. And when we believe his lies, we have no faith. None. Because either you're going to believe, and I'm going to believe the truth, or I'm going to believe a lie. And I need to believe the truth. We believe the truth. And when we believe a lie, we lose faith. I want you to look with me in the Ephesians for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see here the armor that you and I are to have on daily. But specifically, tonight, I want you to look at verse 16 with me. The Bible says, above all, if there's anything you need really important in this fight against the devil and lies, is that you need to take the shield of faith. Wherewith, the Bible tells me, a promise. Ye shall be able to quench, what's the next word? Does all mean all? Sure does. All the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. Why did they get discouraged? Ding! They dropped the shield. There's no shield, no faith. And so I am open game for the fiery darts of the devil. You see? Faith is a huge thing. We must believe, and the shield quenches all the fiery darts. The fact of the matter is, if we don't have the shield on, we accept the lie instead of rejecting it, and we believe an untruth. In Exodus chapter 14, our Sunday school class is going through the book of Exodus, or talking about Moses. And in the book of Exodus, there in chapter 14, the Bible says that the children of Israel went out of Egypt with a high hand. And I picture it, when the Bible says a high hand, they were doing the high fives before, you know, the NBA ever did it. Whoa! And it was a big deal. If you read the scriptures, they took silver, gold, and raiment. They asked for it. If they'd never asked, they never would have gotten it. But they said, ask. And by the way, this is how God works. The day before, they had no favor. They were slaves. The day of the Exodus, they said, what do you want? What do you want? Here, take it. And I could just imagine the women. All right, guys, too. You know, I need some of those tools. Oh, here, take them. But the women, I haven't had five changes of garment in in so many years. You want some? Here. Here's the wardrobe. Take it. And the husband goes, what? You don't need any clothes. You know, and then he has to borrow a bigger camel to put all those clothes in. Oh, come on. Are you with me or no? I mean, you put it in the vehicle. Like, this is not going to fit. Well, get another camel. And they borrowed. They took. They robbed. They spoiled. High five. Yes! Wow, what a God. And they left. Okay? You got the picture. God said, I'm going to lead you with a fiery pillar in front of you. And the angel of the Lord is up there too. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. They thought the best way in their mind, human thinking, was to go through the land of the Philistines. It was the fastest route to get to Israel, to get to the promised land. But God said a little later, no, you can't go there. Go south. Okay, we're going south. But they're thinking, Moses, you don't know a thing. And where is this cloud leading us? This is the wrong direction. And it led them right to Baal-zephon, which is mountains on this side, mountains in the front of us, and the Red Sea on our left. It's like a dead-end street, my friend. What are we doing here? Moses, it's a good thing we're here, and it's a good thing that Pharaoh's son died, and he's going to mummify him and take care of him there, because we're in trouble if they were to come after us. And then you find out they are coming after us. Because the Egyptians and Pharaoh said, what have we done? No work's being done anymore. Think about it. Who was doing all the work? The Israelites. The Egyptians, they had it made in the shade. Oh, my Egyptian Israeli fanner is gone. Boy, it's sure hot in here. What were we thinking? And they fell out of favor again. Isn't it wonderful? I want God's favor, don't you? And God can give favor, and he can take it away. And he did, because he had a purpose and a plan that they had no idea of. And that was for him to get a name and glory in destroying Pharaoh and all the Egyptians that followed. It was about God. So they're in this situation. And can I ask you tonight? That's kind of discouraging, wasn't it? And they griped. They said, weren't there any graves in Egypt? And so you're going to kill us here. Gripe and complain. They prayed, but then they griped. No faith, no faith, no faith. Look at it. That's what the Bible says. They prayed to the Lord and then said, Moses, what in the world are you doing? They did. We're in a cul-de-sac. We're in trouble. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They'd seen, Lucas, all the stuff that God had done. They saw. They got the favor, but they forgot. Boy, isn't that like you and me? We get down. What are we going to do? Well, God knows. Can I tell you this? If the cloud leads you to the cul-de-sac, the cloud will lead you out. You've heard me say this before. Everything that comes into our life is Father filtered. It comes through his hand. But you know, when we don't believe that, when we don't believe that God's right, it just gets us so down and discouraged. And what are we going to do? Doesn't it? We've all been there. We've been there. And so they were like the disciples. The disciples said, Master, don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to perish. And the Israelites said, Moses, we're going to die. But the fact of the matter is, God is not about fate. It's about faith. It's about trusting him. And our response to situations or circumstances that bring discouragement tell us whether we really trust God and believe he knows it all and can take care of us and get us to the other side, or we don't. So tonight, if you're discouraged, or maybe you're headed to one and you don't know it yet, let me give you a few helps to help you in this time of discouragement. You might want to write it down, or you might want to get this CD. Number one. The first one is, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. The devil works, Brother Parker's told us many times, on our thinking, doesn't he? Our thinking. Can a Christian be influenced by the devil? Yes. He can be influenced. Here's an influence. Well, God just doesn't care. God doesn't care about me. Or nothing good is going to come out of this. Nothing good. Well, can I remind you, the truth is that God does care. Because he said, and I've already told you, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not leaving you. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm secure. I'm glad I have an eternal salvation. He will never leave me. He's taken up residence in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's not going to leave me. He's with me all the way through and all the way to glory. And then I'm with him forever. He cares. And when you say, and the devil influences you, think nothing good is going to come out of this. It's just bad, 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 bad. Whew. That's not true. It's not true. Another verse on that, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Not one believer would say, no, I don't love God. You love him. Well, we're together for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. It's not about your purpose. It's about his purpose. It's not about my will. It's about his will. Look in the... Somebody's misnamed the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. No, it's not. It's the Acts of God. And they were just tools. And all of your life is not about the Acts of Jared or the Acts of David or the Acts of Jeff or the Acts of Pete. It's not about your acts. It's about God. And you just surrendering to him. And he can do as he pleases with his tools. And verse 29 tells us why all things work together for good. For him, for them he, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Oh. That makes sense. In other words, what God takes me through, it may seem bad, and I'm not to get burned out or discouraged or grumble or mumble about it, but say, oh, God's molding me into the image of Christ. I got some more garbage that needs to be dropped off. Period. That's it. Because it's a lie that nothing good will come from it. Whatever God does, you love him, there's a reason. And you just trust him. And it may be dark as midnight. It may feel like your boat is going to sink and like you're not going to float anymore. But God, look to God. Look to his word. Look to the word of God. Number one, take up the shield of faith. Trust him. Believe his promises. And if you can't find a promise, say, Holy Spirit, give me a promise. You ought to be able to do that. You're his child. Right? You see, the Christian life is more than just going to church and sitting here and saying, amen, preacher, but it's about living it. It's about saying, God, speak to me. He will. He will. Seek me with all your heart and you will find me. But the problem is we like to stay in our little discouragements because it feels better. And then somebody comes and says, oh, Pete, I'm so sorry. And he says, oh, this is so good. And we take somebody that's carnal instead of somebody who's supernatural who can really comfort and give us strength and see us through it. You say, Brother Miller, you're being so easy, so simple, so simplistic. Well, seeking God's not easy, and it's not simplistic because you have to do it with all your heart, and that takes time. You know how George Mueller got a slew to spawn on that Christmas day? He spent time with God. And he said, by the end of the day, I got to the slew to spawn, and I was able to share the gospel at a house on Christmas Day, and two servants that were listening, got saved. Wow. Isn't that what it's all about? Doing God's will? He'll get you out. Take the shield of faith. Number two, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You remember, and I've preached a message here about this before, about David and Ziklag, and it was burned with fire, and his men that were with him, because their wives and their children were taken, their houses were destroyed. They spoke of killing David, getting rid of David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, the Bible says, David was greatly distressed. But the last part of that verse says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you allow God's Spirit to commune with your spirit. How do you do that? You get alone. You get by yourself. There's some scriptures. You might want to write these down or get the CD later. Read and meditate on scriptures such as Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm 35, 55, 59, or 38. If you have trouble going to sleep at night because of depressing thoughts, meditate on the Word of God. Now, the devil will make sure that you go to sleep so you can't, but just stay awake and say, God, speak to me. I need you. He's not so far away. He's near. He's in the boat. This boat. And he will. God's truth, meditate on God's truth every night before you go to sleep. Something else might encourage you in the Lord is to set up a place where you can be alone with God and eliminate all distractions. I don't know where that is. But go somewhere where nobody knows where you are. Take the cell phone and just get rid of it. And get alone with God. And maybe you have to tell your wife, tell your spouse, I'm going away, this is where I'm going to be, but I just got to get away and get alone with God. That's something we don't do very much in the 21st century, and that's why we're so zilched and so discouraged and so down. Because you have to get alone with Him and encourage yourself in the Lord. And there's a lot to encourage you. Matter of fact, when you go in that secret place, take one of these with you. Sing. You say the Lord can't stand my singing. Yes, He can. Whoops. Have it right side up when you're singing too. V is for victory. Sing it out. It's a glorious word. It's ours through Christ our Lord. Some days may be dark and dreary. Oh, Lord, you know my days are dark and dreary right now. In Christ, the way is all clear. Thank you, Lord. And songs can encourage you because they're focused on God. We sing to an audience of one, and that will encourage you. Get you out of that. Well, it may not get you through. It'll get you through it until God gets you out of it. He's with you. But then, third thing is remove yourself from fearful people as much as possible. Get away from fearful people and get around some faithful people. What do I mean by that? Some people that are full of faith. Full of faith that will encourage you in the Lord and in His Word. Number four, claim your position in Christ. Claim your position in Christ. The devil does not want you to claim your position in Christ. You are not a sinner. You're not a slave. You are a child of Jesus Christ. And you are seated with Him in the heavenlies. You are seated on the throne with Him because we are part of His body. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. When? In the future? No, now. Now. He's opened up the way. We have access 24/7, and I am not a child of the devil. I'm a child of God, and I reject that thought. I reject the thought that I have to be discouraged because I'm with Christ, and He has brought me through the storm, and devil, He'll get me through it. Amen. He will. Because He's a good shepherd, and He cares for me. I reject that thought. I don't have to be here. I don't have to think those bad thoughts. And you know what? What you can do there is also go to Romans chapter 6. It's a good chapter for every Christian to memorize and put to memory. Let me give an example of what you do there. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we, and the Bible says, sin. Put the word discouragement there. What then? Shall we continue in discouragement that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to discouragement live any longer therein? I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to listen to your lies. I don't have to because I'm in Christ. Take your place in Him. But then the last thing is tonight, ask God to show you how He can use your situation for your good and His glory. Ask God to show you how He can use your situation that you're in for your good and for His glory. Maybe the Lord has you in this slough of despond for a reason. Maybe He's got you there to get your attention. You know how we are. We get buzzing along in a Christian life, and we just kind of, you know, we're doing the God thing, but we're not really paying attention. Our attention and our heart's not really on Him. Maybe He put you there for a reason, to get your attention, to look up. Maybe God's got you kind of mildly discouraged so that you'll do a self-examination. Examine yourself. You might be blind to some sin in your life. You don't see it. God, do I have pride? Is there pride in my life? Lord, if this is what it is, I confess it to you, and I want to forsake it, and I want to put on humility instead of pride. Or maybe God has you in this circumstance or situation just to purify your faith and give you stronger faith. You know, sometimes when God has great things in store for us, the devil marks our lives for attack. And he does have great things in store for us. God does have great things. And the devil knows that. And he doesn't want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So he attacks our lives with his doubts and darts of fear and discouragement. But you know, the answer is always the same as James points out in his epistle. In James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil." Submit to God. I claim my position to him. Resist the devil. Devil, I don't have to think this way. I don't have to be discouraged like this. I don't have to go down this path. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will what? Draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, I find throughout Scripture, a page of Scripture, the answer to the discouragement is just waiting on the Lord. And if God brings you to a bad situation, and it seems like there's no hope, there's still hope. Because, like the disciples asked, don't you care? Oh my, he does care. He does care. Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares, the songwriter said. His heart is touched with my need. When the days are weary, the long nights weary, I know my Savior cares. He does care. I don't know where you are tonight. If you've been discouraged or if you're going into discouragement or you're in some discouragement, man, go to the Lord. Trust the Lord. And use his word, because he will speak peace to the storm so that you might use that experience to help somebody else. Hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. And you know what helped me? God, his word, and it'll help you too. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you, Father, for the great encouragement of your word. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Holy Spirit, you are the great God of the conscience. And you know where we all are. And I pray that if someone has had circumstances or situations or their mind is just cluttered and just full of anxiety and everything, Lord, I pray that they would find hope and encouragement from tonight's message, from your word. And may they seek you out and find you and get that encouragement that they need. In Jesus' name, amen.